In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, it is the Lord who opens eyes and it is the Lord who unstops ears. He loosens tongues and he causes the lame to leap. Such is the one who brought us into being, who formed and fashioned us in our mother's womb. In this the psalmist delights when he sings, "For you, O Lord, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." This is our God, our Creator, the one who brought us into being and gave us life. He's the God of life, never the God of death. So the God of life leads Ezekiel by the hand in our text this morning. He takes him by the hand and the Spirit of the Lord, and he sets him in the midst of a valley surrounded by dry bones. Very dry bones. The land is unclean with death. Death is the result of sin. Ezekiel is given a vision of his people's sin, of his own sin. And Ezekiel could just as easily have been set in any land, in any nation, at any time, even our own, even today. Behold, beloved, our cemeteries continue to fill up. Hospitals fall short. Diet and exercise only prolong the inevitable. And like the zombie apocalypse, too many wander about today's landscape dead to God and dead to their neighbor, their death being a result of sin, and their sin coming from Adam. And like zombies, they consume one another, hoping to extend or gain whatever life they can. So the Lord in our text asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel can only reply, "O Lord, you know." Ezekiel rests everything in the Lord's will, for everything hangs upon God. Life, true life, eternal life depends on God. Not Ezekiel, not Israel, not you or me or anyone else. God's question to the prophet is not meant to introduce doubt, but rather to give opportunity for faith. Ezekiel answers well, but we often do not. Doubts continually afflict us. We doubt because we walk by sight a whole lot more than we wish to confess. We see the might of our adversary and we cower. We glimpse the strength of disease or illness and our knees tremble. We behold the size and scope of our cultural demise. In the face of social unrest, we abandon our post, surrender our vocations, and then begin to live even more like the zombies around us. If you can't beat them, just join them. Join them we do. We who are Christian go where they go, and we do what they do, and we seek after what they seek after. We choose to satisfy the pleasures of the flesh and pursue the happiness of this life, even at the expense of neglecting the medicine of immortality given to make certain eternal life. After all, why go against the tide? Why fight an unwinnable war? Why stand up in the midst of so many dry bones? And we sin. And we doubt. We sin some more. We suffer the anguish of our souls. We become restless. We search. We seek. We knock. We ask. But our seeking and our knocking and our asking is in the wrong place and on the wrong doors and to the wrong people. And so with ancient Israel, we despair. Our bones are which is why you want to feel better, which is why you want to follow your feelings. But Scripture says, be still. Be still and know that I am the Lord. In other words, everything depends on God, not your feelings, not your works, not your efforts or your piety or your intentions, not your doing this or doing that or singing this or singing that. Everything depends on God. Can these bones live? Oh Lord God, you know. Indeed, God knows, and God knows you. He's the God of life, never the God of death. And he calls you to repent, to bring life out of death, repentance out of stubbornness. The Lord doesn't give Ezekiel any special strength or power to turn the hearts of so many that first Pentecost. The Lord doesn't give Peter or James or John to display signs in the heavens. No, beloved, Ezekiel is given to prophesy, and Peter and the 12 are told to preach. The Lord pours out his Holy Spirit, for God's word is not like the word of men. God's word does what it says and works what he wills. God's word is a spirit-filled word, an inspired word. It pleased the God. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe, says St. Paul. Through the prophets prophesying and by the apostles preaching, God works his wonders on dry bones. He pours out his Spirit graciously and generously, desiring all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's preachers aren't given to preach whatever it is they want. They're given to preach what they are told. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, says God to Ezekiel. The content of such prophecy is bound to the word of the Lord. The subject of apostolic doctrine is bound to the word of the Lord. For there is no true prophecy apart from the word, and there is no true preaching apart from the cross. For the gospel, you see, the gospel of God is full of the passion of God's Son. We preach Christ and him crucified. To bring life out of death and repentance out of stubbornness, we are given to preach the blood of Christ. For it's the blood of Christ which deals with the root of death. For in Jesus, the shoot from the stump of Jesse sprouts life anew. He is perfect, righteous. He is strong and holy. Jesus is what we are not. Without sin. Yet despite his righteous standing before God, Jesus assumed the posture of a slave. He took the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, so that in his death he would die for you and me and all who are cursed by sin. His death is the destruction of death. His passion is the culmination of the Old Testament prophecies and the New Testament's fulfillment. Everything depends on Jesus. Everything hangs on the cross. For there on the cross is God for you. Do not doubt it. Do not worry. But be still and behold the love of God for you and me and all the world. Be still and know that he is God. And through such labors of love, he desires your eternal salvation. For his death is for your sins. His resurrection is for your resurrection. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first never to die again. And those who believe on his name follow in his footsteps, follow in his train. For though we die, yet shall we live. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And this, beloved, is the content of our preaching. This is the fulfillment of the prophet's words. And so we preach, and so we glorify the God of heaven and earth. And he who boasts is given to boast in the Lord alone. Now note well, beloved, the doer of the verbs in our readings this morning. Though Ezekiel does the preaching, his preaching is merely the means for God's working, his word in the valley of dry bones. And though Peter is the one speaking to the crowds, it's God who calls the nations to repentance. We who preach are the vessels through which our God pours his Holy Spirit upon the earth, even upon you. For what does the word say? It says, I will open your grave. I will cause you to come up. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. I will place in you your, I will place you in your own land. I have spoken it and I have performed it. What is willed by the Lord is fulfilled by the Lord through his word. And so his word is fulfilled in you through water and the Spirit. For he saved you, not because of works done by you in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on you richly through Jesus Christ your Savior, so that being justified by his grace, you might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Through water and the word, the Spirit of our God has united you to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Christ's death has become your death. Christ's resurrection has become your resurrection. Therefore, what is spoken of Jesus is also spoken of you who believe and are baptized. What belongs to Jesus is given to you who believe and are baptized. His righteousness is yours. His holiness is yours. His eternal dwelling is yours. Heaven is yours. Life is yours. Such wondrous things are proclaimed by God's sent ones, so that you may know. When the Lord works these great and mighty deeds, he does so through word and sacrament, by grace, for you to receive by faith and not by sight. He works the wonders and he does the verbs. You hear with your ears the heart of your God, and you receive by faith the blessings of his labors. By this you shall know that the Lord is your God, and you are his dear child. You shall know and be certain. You shall know and rejoice. You shall know and be full of hope. You shall know because the Lord has spoken it. He's spoken it today in the preaching of his word. He spoke it over you when you were baptized. He daily and richly speaks it to those who call on his name and recall his promises in the word. It's the nature of faith to recall the words and promises of our God. Through these, God reveals himself to you. Through these, God instills in the depths of your soul life, true life, eternal life. Therefore, beloveds, on the last day, the Lord shall speak once more. He shall call his own by name. He shall call them from the clouds. And the bones of the faithful shall rattle together. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord will breathe into these bones and call them back to life again. He will put sinews on them and bring flesh upon them. He will cover his beloved with skin and put breath into them and they shall live. Our cemeteries will surrender their inhabitants. Our graves will be opened up. Our hospitals will be obsolete. For none who share in the resurrection will ever be overcome by sin or death again. They shall live forever and ever. They shall live because these bones can live. These bones shall live. These bones will rise on the last day as a mighty and glorious army of saints, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and sealed by the Spirit of our God. These bones can live and shall live because our God is a God of life and never a God of death. The God who calls sinners to repentance and works faith in the hearts of those who hear with open ears. Our God is the God of the resurrection. Can these bones live? For us, this question isn't asked out of doubt, but one which glories in the God of salvation. Yes, we say, yes, these bones can live, for this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord our God. We waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in this salvation. To God alone be glory, forever and ever. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds